This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Unabashedly Wisconsin and from Lake Wissota, I'm Pat Kreitlow. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. On this Thursday morning, January 2nd, 2025, a short two-day work week for a few of us, many others still on break for a couple of more days, and we'll all crank it up again together on Monday, January 6th. That's also when the new session of the Wisconsin legislature begins, and so we'll talk to Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro about that coming up in just a couple of moments. A lot of things that the legislature could do, but they didn't get done last year before they put themselves on a nine-month paid vacation. We'll see if a smaller Republican majority makes them any more willing to work with Democratic Governor Tony Evers on crafting a two-year state budget that will affect all of us in some form or another. So we'll have that coming up to kick off the new year. But first, let's turn to meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us on the second day of the new year about some snow that's kind of slicking things up up north in parts of other areas. And this, well, it's not a deep freeze, but I mean, we've been pretty comfortable comparatively for a big chunk of the winter. But what we got is going to have to stay bundled up for a little while here, Brittany, aren't we?
Yep. Back to layers, because that cold air is filtering in. It's turned on that lake effect snow machine. Up north, I was driving actually on Highway 2 yesterday. It is slick, it is slippery, and that snow is still flying, especially into Vilas counties and areas of north central Wisconsin. Probably another 1 to 2 inches is still expected to accumulate today. So we've got the lake effect snow ongoing, but then for the rest of the state, mostly cloudy and trying to hang on to some mildness. Highs will reach the low to upper 20s across the state. But again, flurries flying, lake effect snow, and cloud cover. Then the cold settles in overnight. Our temperatures fall to the single digits, and then for tomorrow, we only climb to highs in the teens. That's statewide. Plus, those winds are going to be breezy. They're breezy out there today. They're going to stay like that tomorrow. So wind chills are going to be feeling more like the single digits tomorrow. And then it's also going to be feeling more like near negative 20 in those overnight hours and early morning hours. And that's going to hold for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We'll get a little boost back to the 20s.
That's it? Just a little boost back. I was pausing for effect. I'm like, and then come the 60s or something. But no, just we are where we are.
Here come the 20s. Yay!
Yeah. Oh, well. Did you enjoy your holiday break?
I did. I absolutely did. It was nice to have. I like the weeks broken up, right? The holidays right smack dab in the middle. So I've been working on both ends of it. But how about you guys?
Sure. We were talking about it was kind of weird to work Monday, Tuesday last week and Thursday, Friday this week. But others, pushed on through like Greg did, filling in for me along with Kristen Lyerly on Monday and Tuesday. Greg, thank you for that. And thank you again for the Christmas gift, the West Wing book. I'm about a third of the way through it already.
Nice.
And just loving that oral history. Brittany, did you get a particular gift over the holidays that stuck with you?
Oh, gosh, got me on the spot. Not
I
really.
Know, I did, didn't I? Now Not everybody who really. Gave you a gift is like, okay, say me.
Exactly. I plead the fifth.
I got the gift of love and family and friendship.
There we go. Yes. From Robin Tigerton. Good morning. Partly cloudy, 15 degrees. I had to salt the sidewalks yesterday morning, then went to Schmidt Corners between Tigerton and Iola. Monday, I gained a grandnephew, Milo Walter Wendt. Kyle and Leah went, our first time parents, and my sister Debbie's number three grandson, I believe you said there. I want to wish Pat, Greg, and Brittany a very wonderful New Year's. I hope it's the best year ever, and thank you for all you do. We appreciate that, Rob. Glad you're with us in another new year.
Thank you, Brittany, so much.
We'll talk to you tomorrow and see how the weekend forecast is looking. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
All right. And Rob also notes as well, sends his thoughts and prayers to the people in the city of New Orleans. We do as well. And obviously, Civic Media will keep you updated at the top of the hour throughout the day on the latest in the investigation on that attack. The college football game that had been postponed will be played this afternoon at 3 o'clock in New Orleans, continuing the college football playoffs. Looking around the Civic Media radio dial at what's going to be coming up today, let's see, we have from Chad Holmes at 8:06 this morning has Pat Kreitler. Well, we can skip that one. Let's go to the Don Rosen Show, where you can hear from Racine Alder and Racine County Board Supervisor Melissa Caprellian, who introduces us to the second of two foreign exchange students that she's hosting during this term of the school year. And the Earl Ingram Show coming up at 8 o'clock on many of these Civic Media stations has Omar the Pharmacist visiting. And then there's a little program called Matinaire on Air that follows from 10 a.m. to noon. Mr. Bach will be part of that little radio extravaganza. What you guys doing today?
Oh, today? That's a great question, Pat. I'm so happy you asked it.
I'm happy I asked it too. So we'll check back on you on that in a little bit. So.
Sorry, buddy. I was checking something of the levels when you asked that. So I was like, a little, we're doing stuff. We're doing cool stuff, Pat. Okay. We're doing
cool stuff.
Cool, excellent stuff.
We have a spreadsheet, folks, where we're supposed to fill these things in and you know what you've got the next day and some days when there's nothing there, you're just like, well, I'll just go right to the source.
Yeah.
And I went right to the source, and you know, as Taylor Swift would say, I got a blank space, baby.
Well, as far as I know, we're going to probably have Brittany back on the show today talking for Weather and Wine at 11:20, and then also we have our sports on Thursday, and this week we have JS Online, Journal Sentinel writer J.R. Radcliffe, who is going to be joining us to talk about all things sports, probably spending some good time on the Packers. And then, of course, as Tony says, this shouldn't be a thing, a.k.a. Tisbat is our daily show closer, where we talk about a wild and crazy story that we don't think should be something. So,
And yet it is.
And yet it is. Here it is.
Such is the world we live in. All right. Thank you, Greg, for that. Again, Matt and Aaron Eric coming up at 10 o'clock. Governor Evers put out a press release over the break here, talking about some of the highlights in what he was able to do as governor, even with a hostile legislature in the year 2024. Talking about the tax cuts, for example, that he signed, the ones designed for the middle class. He vetoed the ones that Republicans had put up that were mainly benefiting wealthy tax brackets. He signed an expansion of the child care tax credit, but again, it's pretty paltry compared to what could have been done had Republicans not put so much emphasis on a tax credit benefiting the wealthiest families most. He did redirect $170 million to child care counts, but that will run out in June of this year. He talked about things like the Microsoft data center. The company is investing $3 billion to expand its data center in southeast Wisconsin. In that same neck of the woods, Eli Lilly is also adding a roughly $3 billion expansion. That'll add 2,000 construction jobs and then 750 highly skilled jobs. Keekaman Foods is expanding with more than $500 million to build a new facility in Jefferson and expand their effort in Walworth. Let's see, Nestle is expanding its production in Jefferson. That's a nearly $200 million project. Of course, Wisconsin was selected as a regional tech hub. That unlocks nearly $50 million in federal funds to grow biohealth and personalized medicine jobs and production facilities. And of course, the governor notes that Wisconsin ended 2024 on a still occurring 7-month streak of consistently setting new historic levels of employment including 9 counties, reporting their lowest ever levels of unemployment. So despite the vibe out there that was spun successfully by some folks in politics, Wisconsin's economy is humming along nicely. Could always be better if there was a bit more harmony between the governor and the Republican-led legislature. Well, maybe that all changes starting Monday with a new session. So let's visit with Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro about that. Elizabeth, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
Good morning. Happy New Year. I'm doing well.
Good. We have to ask one more time. We have to put closure on this. You made roughly 1,000 raviolis for holiday dinner. Did it turn out all right?
Oh, excellent. And I've got a batch of my own personal leftovers in the freezer that might be consumed before the week is out.
Yeah. No, it sounds like a great holiday break for everybody. And again, just a great family food making activity. But to get us back to the work that's got to be done starting Monday when the legislature comes in, and we will talk to Senator Dianne Hesselbein, the state Senate Democratic leader, at this time tomorrow about the session. But you can find a preview at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And I think, Elizabeth, where people start is with the fair maps. As a result, you've got a smaller Republican majority in the Assembly and the Senate. And so I guess the big question is, will we see any greater opportunities for bipartisanship in the legislature this time around? But goodness knows there are still some fundamental disagreements out there between the GOP and the Democratic governor.
That's right. And one of those big points that there's a little bit of an impasse even heading into this session that will start next week is on things like that will help Wisconsin families, like Badger Care expansion.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that if done could give tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin more stable, more affordable health insurance. And if I'm not mistaken, one of your final stories before the holiday break included a WISP politics forum where the Senate president, Republican Mary Felskowski, did not exactly leave any opening for bipartisanship on expanding Medicaid and Badger Care here, did she?
Right. She very much said, you know, why would we take people off of private insurance to put them on government insurance and put our hospitals who are already suffering into a worse position with lower reimbursement rates? While, you know, Assembly Minority Speaker Greta Neubauer very much spoke to the fact that, you know, the private insurance may not be working for everyone.
Right. I mean, it doesn't work for a lot of folks here. And if you can instead have that stable and affordable policy through Medicaid, and if you could use some of this, you know, $4 billion surplus to shore up Medicaid reimbursement rates, well, that would kind of be a win-win. So after the break, we'll ask Elizabeth about other potentials for a win-win in the Wisconsin legislature for the new session starting next week. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, January 2nd, when you're here, you're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It was during this week in 1968 that a Berkeley, California group called the Gollywogs decided to change their name. They changed their name to Creedence Clearwater Revival. Seems to have worked out all right for them, happening 57 years ago this week. The Wisconsin legislature comes back into session on Monday, and they are facing an issue that is so unique to politics. If I put together almost any other group of people and said, here's a pot of $4 billion. Can you divide it up in a way that makes everybody happy? The answer is yes. The answer almost anybody would give you would be yes. But a legislature run by Republicans with a Democratic governor has had a very tough time finding the win-win in having a multi-billion dollar surplus. And Up North News political correspondent Elizabeth Montemurro joins us again to talk a bit more about where this all goes from here. So we start with a surplus of $4 billion. You've got the governor giving his State of the State address later this month, eventually a budget address, and then they start debating the budget. Elizabeth, you mentioned Medicaid expansion, you know, making Badger Care stronger. What are some of the other issues you expect to be covering as the legislature starts working on a state spending plan for the next 2 years?
You know, I think education will be a big piece of that. We've already seen State Superintendent Jill Underley submit and very publicly announce her budget proposals for the coming year. And a big piece of that is increasing the reimbursement rate that school districts get for special education. I know we've talked about that before, charter schools get a 90% reimbursement rate, while our public schools are only getting like 25 to 30% reimbursement rate for those mandatory services that they have to offer. And I think the other big thing that we're going to be talking a lot about is childcare and the potential cliff that we have with childcare accounts funding projected to run out by the middle of this year.
Right. And it the only reason it still exists is that Governor Evers was able to reallocate some federal pandemic relief funds to keep the Child Care Counts program going, which is helping child care centers stay in business. It's helping parents be able to afford child care and stay in the labor force. Republicans have offered next to nothing in terms of what to do about affordable child care, except for a tax credit that, again, benefits mostly wealthier families. So, I mean, that's one that I'll be curious to see with the smaller Republican majority. If you do find some Republicans that are saying, hey, we actually do need to do something about this, because affordable child care, it's not an issue just in Democratic represented districts. This is very much a statewide problem, Elizabeth, that legislators have been hearing about.
Right. And, you know, we also talk about the state having had record low unemployment. If child care accounts goes out the window, people can't afford or find child care because there's a shortage of child care providers, who's going to watch the children while parents are at work?
Which is only going to exacerbate the labor shortage if more people decide that they have to stay home because they can't find quality, affordable child care. We'll also see, I'm quite certain, when you talk about a surplus, you have to talk about, you know, tax cuts as well. And three different times in the last session, Republicans proposed a tax cut plan, but each one was so heavily weighted toward the highest tax brackets that Governor Evers vetoed them partially or overall, and allowed some middle class tax cuts to go through and take effect. But again, tax cuts will most certainly be part of, I would have to say, the starting point, because Republicans will want to see some kind of a tax cut before they allocate any other parts of the surplus to education or the UW system or Medicaid or childcare or anything like that. But I know that Speaker Robin Voss of the Assembly has already said that Jill Underley, the state superintendent, is certainly not going to get everything that she has asked for. The UW system is, he said, not going to get the $855 million that they're asking for. But in all of these cases, Elizabeth, I mean, this is a debate that doesn't just happen in the Capitol building. The Joint Finance Committee almost always takes to the road and allows for public input. So I sense you're going to be hearing, and the legislators are going to be hearing, from a lot of regular folks who are going to take time out of their day to talk about these issues and more that they think the legislature should be funding.
That's right. And, you know, I was thinking about this over the break, as we talk about holiday meal conversation. There's some things that inevitably come up for every family, and finances and affordability and taxes. I definitely heard around my holiday table at various gatherings throughout the break. So that inevitably is going to trickle over to those calls to legislators, those emails to legislators, because folks are definitely feeling that pull and push in their own personal lives.
Yeah, without a doubt. And where they're getting it from is things like childcare, you know, the things that are in their day-to-day lives more so than, you know, hey, can you cut my state income tax rate from, you know, 4.56 to 4.25? You know, nobody's sending a letter to their legislator about that. They're saying do something about childcare, or they're saying something like, you know, get the PFAS out of my water. And it's so weird, Elizabeth, that we're going into a new state budget when in the current state budget, there's still $125 million in there to clean up PFAS. That money's not going to work yet. It's just sitting there.
Right. And that's not the only thing. We've also are sitting on $50 million to implement, you know, literacy bill that the state legislature asked for in the last cycle. And, you know, additional funding that could be going to help our hospital systems like we talked about earlier.
Yeah, and the Chippewa Valley, where you had these two hospitals just abruptly closed. So there's plenty of unspent funds from the current budget that this legislature needs to do. And again, we'll talk to Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein about it tomorrow during this time period. But Elizabeth Montemurro helps tee it off for us, which is going to be a busy 6 months before the next state budget is due. Elizabeth, thanks so much for that. And thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Yep, you as well. So when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about what lies ahead in 2025 on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Wrightlow, back after this.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better because I'm over you.
We're coming up on the weekend anniversary, January 4th, 1973, in Madison, where Neil Young would kick off his Time Fades Away tour. That's noteworthy in and of itself for Neil Young kicking off a tour in Madison in 1973. But also noteworthy is that his opening act was an unknown singer named Linda Ronstadt, who had played a lot of clubs, but eventually would start to win over arenas throughout the Neil Young tour with her voice. The following year, her breakthrough album, Heart Like a Wheel, would come out with hits like that one, You're No Good. 7:35 now on Up North News Radio. Pat Wrightlow along with Greg Bach. Nice to be back after the holiday break. We've got a busy few days ahead of us with the new Congress beginning tomorrow, then the new legislature on Monday, a new state budget, frankly, a new federal budget that's got to be negotiated as well, because they never reached agreement the last time around. Congress kept kicking the can, and they did so again. And once again, an unnecessarily late deal that just didn't resolve anything, and in fact, left some things hanging. For example, in the budget deal that passed just before the Christmas break, in order to satisfy some Republicans that wanted a smaller bill that spent less, the money was dropped for things like 9/11 first responders. Remember Jon Stewart from The Daily Show campaigning literally for years and years that first responders at the 9/11 site at Ground Zero should have their health costs covered for the many respiratory ailments that have sickened and killed first responders at Ground Zero. And we thought not that long ago that there was finally resolution to that matter, but there's not. The last budget deal did not include language that would continue to extend the health benefits for first responders for that day. Also unnecessarily delayed were things like, cancer research. Yeah, seriously, cancer research and other matters were among the things that were not included. And the assumption, of course, is that, well, they'll all come back and then by March or April, they'll get this all done and they'll get a farm bill done. Remember, we're still working off a farm bill from 2018 that hasn't been renewed yet, which continues to put in danger funding that farmers receive for conservation programs. It doesn't do anything new to break up, big monopolies in agribusiness that keep prices artificially low for farmers. There's just so much to do. But again, the can got kicked, and I don't know what makes people feel it's going to be any different next time around, because you're going to have a Republican-led House of Representatives with a one-vote margin for error for the Speaker of the House, whoever the Speaker of the House is going to be. Because when the new Congress comes in session tomorrow, Mike Johnson will be up there standing for re-election, but there's absolutely no guarantee that he won't lose some of the far-right members who wanted more things cut from the budget. They weren't satisfied to just see cancer research cut or 9/11 first responder healthcare cut. They want more cuts. And if Mike Johnson doesn't promise it, then they won't support him. But Mike Johnson is in no position to promise those things because, as he knows, anything that goes to the Senate needs 60 votes to pass. And so I don't think that Greg Bach is out of line making this bold prediction as to who might win and become the Speaker of the House tomorrow. What do you think? Greg, look into your political crystal ball and tell me who could be the next Speaker of the House.
I see Speaker of the House Hakeem Jeffries.
Is it possible? Yes. Yeah. Yes. If a couple of Republicans say, well, to just to prove my point, we're going to put the Democrats in charge, and then we can blame the Democrats for everything that goes wrong when Republicans can't agree amongst themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, it worked in this last presidential election for them. So why wouldn't it work again, right?
You got people talking about trying to draft Elon Musk or Matt Gaetz to be Speaker of the House. I mean, we are just at a point now where it's getting to be a bit ridiculous and almost disrespectful to the title itself. It's like, this should be a hollow experience for someone who is very qualified, very, very knowledgeable about the process. And when you're like, oh, well, how about Elon Musk?
Elon Musk,
the Mars guy.
Yes. No. So we're going to start this off with drama before we even get to the serious spending decisions that have to be made. But whatever gets done with a Republican president and a Republican-led Senate and a Republican-controlled House and now a Republican-controlled U.S. Supreme Court, well, we rely on that balance of powers and that separation of powers to continue our democracy. And yet, turning over to the Supreme Court, we got an end-of-the-year report from the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, that was a bit of a jaw-dropper in that this nine-page statement that he put out didn't mention ethics once, didn't mention Clarence Thomas's luxury vacations or the decisions and the favors given to Samuel Alito and everything else that has put a cloud of controversy around the United States Supreme Court, which has public support at a level that hasn't been measured this low perhaps ever. So who does John Roberts blame for this if he doesn't bring up the ethical dilemmas, to put it politely, about some of his own members, if he doesn't mention the decisions that were questionable, to put it kindly, to give presidents, thinking about Donald Trump, virtually unlimited power as long as they feel that they are doing things in a quote unquote official capacity, that's not right. That's a blank check to abuse the office, to abuse your power, and then claim that you thought it was part of your official duties. And so it's a wonder that there are these negative feelings about the U.S. Supreme Court. Who does John Roberts blame? Criticism of the Supreme Court, he says. And he says it's more than criticism. He says the criticism amounts to attempts to intimidate justices. He believes for a guy that we talk about, you know, free speech a lot, and certainly, you know, giving the president free rein to do whatever. But John Roberts says that while the court is no more infallible than any other branch, he spent a lot of his statement saying, well, when you see the violence that's out there and the violent rhetoric that's out there, that is meant to intimidate courts and judges. And he completely ignores all the ethical questions that have been surrounding the court. He says that judges' independence are threatened by intimidation, disinformation, and threats to defy lawfully entered judgments. Well, yeah, I mean, look, there's no place for violence. There certainly shouldn't be any place for intimidation. But when it comes to disinformation, again, we're dealing with a political faction in this country that is completely reliant on disinformation as its DNA. And we're going to talk to John Shelton on Monday from UW Green Bay, who talks a lot about labor history, but has also written an article for The Nation magazine about political messaging and political media. And right now you have a group that has built up its entire reason for being around power and getting power, even if you're not truthful with the voters. And so to then say that disinformation is a threat to the same conservative justices who are buying into this misinformation and giving Donald Trump unlimited power and shielding him from accountability for his actions on January 6th, 2021. I mean, that's just the height of disingenuousness that we're seeing in this Roberts report. And frankly, a lot of people are right to say that this is meant to have a chilling effect on people who would otherwise be criticizing the courts for the decisions that they're making. Courts should be held accountable for their decisions. They should be held accountable for their ethics. And yet, perhaps the most underreported story of 2024 was the ethical scandals. And these are genuine scandals that swirl around what these conservative justices are accepting from people, from billionaires who have business before the court. There is arguably no greater issue right now that impacts democracy. Now that this last election is over, the votes have been counted, everything was fairly decided. The biggest threat to democracy right now may be a corrupt Supreme Court. As Tony puts on YouTube, he says, all these problems, they remind me of somebody in particular. Spoiler, it's Trump. And it is. Because a guy who will continually change his position on things depending on the audience that he's talking to, and will put absolute sycophants into positions so that he can have absolute power. When he wants to trade tax policy for tariff policy so that he alone can decide what countries and what industries and what companies will be subject to tariffs and which ones won't, if a Supreme Court won't stop that, when a Congress won't stop it, then we do have a real reason to doubt the effectiveness and the credibility of our courts. And yet that's exactly what John Roberts would have us believe based in his writing for his end of the year report. It all ends with me thinking of that infamous meme and picturing the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, in a hot dog costume, saying, "We are all trying to get to the bottom of who's doing this. Who's damaging the credibility of the court?" The call is coming from inside the courtroom. Tomorrow we'll have Senator Dianne Hesselbein on to talk about a legislative preview. We're also going to have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on. Programming note there, Jim Santel normally joins us Friday mornings at 7:20. He's going to join us early tomorrow. He's going to join us at 6:30 so that we have a little bit extra time to talk with him, because he wants to share his memories of working for former President Jimmy Carter. He was a staff intern in the Carter White House back in 1980. And wants to share his memories about that and his thoughts on the Carter presidency ahead of Jimmy Carter's state funeral, which will be next week, Thursday. So again, Jim Santel on at 6:30 tomorrow morning. State Senator Dianne Hesselbein will join us at 7:05. As I mentioned on Monday, we will have John Shelton from UW Green Bay on progressive messaging and media. And then Tuesday will be Congressman Mark Pocan. And I'm hoping... Well, it could be a lot of fun as we look at, you know, the vote for speaker and, you know, what happens in the three-ring circus that's being created in the House. It could be, instead of really funny, it could be really serious, depending on how things get started with that new Congress and the rhetoric that comes from it ahead of Donald Trump being inaugurated on January 20th. And so we're going to hope it's somewhere in the middle. We're going to hope that it's something about getting down to business and getting some things done, because there are issues out there that lend themselves well to bipartisanship and to getting some things done right from the get-go. I don't know. There was immigration reform. There was a deal on the table that Donald Trump then scuttled so that he could run on the issue of immigration and somehow was able to win on it. Maybe the first thing they get done is an immigration deal. Okay, well, I thought I'd throw it out there. We'll ask Congressman Pocan about it coming up on Tuesday. We'll wrap up our conversation here on Up North News Radio for this Thursday morning. Right after this, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I figured we needed some aerobics music from Olivia Newton-John. Everybody's got those New Year's resolutions that they want to keep. And so through the magic of radio, you can just imagine that wearing his headband and his leggings, Luke Mathers is back from his aerobics class and is ready to kick off 2025 with us right now. Mr. Mathers, Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year, Mr. Kreitlow, Mr. Bach. I'm doing well. Yourselves?
Good. Do you have any resolutions that you want to share with the class for 2025?
See, I a few years ago now, I'm not a big fan of resolutions. I guess not arbitrary ones, just the turn of the calendar year. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it always seemed like I would try to make them and it would never stick.
Sure.
And so I've tried to make things better when I address concerns that I have, like, in my life, that I'm like, I want to resolve to do this better. I don't wait until the turn of January 1st to try to do it, especially because this last week and a half, like, I've been eating healthier over the last several years. I've trimmed down some, you know, post college weight, that freshman 15 and then sophomore
60
20 you see pictures of yourself leave high school and then leave college and it's like, whoa, okay, yeah. This wasn't great. So I did make it an intentional habit a couple years ago just to be eating healthier. And this last week has been terrible because the sweets are on the holiday.
I know.
So it's like just one more good reminder for me why I don't wait until January 1st to kind of make resolutions like that.
But so yeah, Tony asks on YouTube, do you have goals, if not resolutions?
Yeah,
do
I have that's a goal? List.
Yeah. Do you have professional metrics? Anything that we need to know about here? Or
do you have professional metrics for us that we need to know about right here?
Yeah, Greg really needs to know because it's almost time to start talking about annual raises and things. So if Greg needs to do anything to shape up, this would be the time. So
darn it. This day, I wanted today to be the perfect show start to finish, just
Our New Year's resolution to have the perfect show, not so much on January 2nd, but come back tomorrow, folks. We're gonna give it another go.
There you go.
362 more tracks at it.
Like how you said, like, time for annual raise discussions, and I'm like, I don't know how to do my job. And
here's some unrequested music. Just fading it in. No. Maybe that's bad of me. I don't know. No.
I completely failed at mine last year. Well, not completely. I tried to do a little bit better.
That's exactly the problem. The problem is when you don't do it, then you call it a failure and you get upset with yourself.
Yeah.
And you start like it's a cycle.
But I had the world's dumbest one ever though. Is as I get a little bit older here. And it was made in jest, but I realized I had to be serious about it, was to stop making noises when I get up. If I get up from a chair, so stop going, ugh, oof,
See, but that's like a silly one that, like, if you quote-unquote fail at it, like, come on. Like, I one of the ones that I've always tried and, like, set myself up for not doing as great as well is, like, reading more. Like, I'm always like, I want to read more.
So what'd you say? Read more.
More.
That
I'm like,
not
wow.
What I heard.
No, not at all.
Read, yes. Yeah. Reading more.
Okay. Let's check the tape.
I mean, let's check with Nick Cannon aspirant Luke Mathers to see how his breeding is going. No, it's not like that.
Reading
at all.
More.
Reading. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
So, and then I always get to the end of the year. And this year I did have more books that I completed start to finish, which I was proud of. But at the same time, I didn't really set up a metric. Like, I wasn't like, I need to read a book every single month for this year of 2024, because that I would have failed at. But I read more, and so I can kind of pat myself a little bit on the back for that. But I still don't think that I read enough. So it's one of those continual things where it's just like I want to read more,
But don't kick yourself if you don't. But also, if like even if you read,
oh, Pat kicks me enough, I don't have to kick myself. Don't worry. I'm well aware that there's no need for me to kick myself because every Thursday morning I get a nice little kick session.
Resolution in 2025, I will kick Luke Mathers more gently. There we go. Okay,
less, just more gently.
Just more gently is all.
A softer kick. Maybe this time to the bread basket.
I made it very clear in our best of end of the year show in this little segment I dedicated to you,
the little brother,
that we did with love, that it was there for a reason.
Hey, I've got a younger brother, I've got an older brother, I got an older sister. I know all about the sibling, picking on sessions. So don't worry, I'm aware that the kickings are from love, but they're still kickings.
yes, they are. So let's kick
this
you into gear thinking about
uncomfortable
civic media in 2025. Do you have any New Year's things to tell us or anything new and exciting coming down the chute here for us? Or
we had a great evening of Lou Regani bringing in the new year on New Year's Eve. It was a lot of fun. We're excited to be continuing to provide local entertaining programming across the state of Wisconsin, not just from the News Talk side here this morning with where the stations you broadcast on, Pat, but across the state with music formatted stations as well. We're continuing to grow, build out the teams that we have established in these communities around the state of Wisconsin. And while a lot of other places we see are turning away from local community-based news and entertainment on the radio, Civic Media is really leaning into it. And so we're really proud to provide real news and great conversation for our communities across the state of Wisconsin. And I'm looking forward to 2025 being able to continue to do that even more.
Exactly. We appreciate it too. All right, go feed the dogs and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Pat. Happy New Year, Greg.
All right.
Happy New
Year. Greg Bach is back at 10 o'clock for Matt and Air on Air. Topics, TBD. Tune in for more. And then we'll see you tomorrow morning. And thanks to Elizabeth Montmorel for being our guest this morning. And thanks to you as well for joining us. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.